Joining us now in the KYMN studios is Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Matt Hillman. Mr. Hillman, thank
you
so much for coming.
How are you? It's a great day. It's a beautiful morning here on Division Street. The Minnesota Twins are winning series like it's nobody's business, and so life is good.
Life is good. Just a few more weeks left in school. We finally have summer here. It just not much of a spring this year, but we do. Summer is on its way in. Let's talk about last night's school board meeting. We are ending the school year very shortly. Soon you'll be doing, approving a new budget. And you've gone through a reduction process with the budget due to some demographics. I'll let you explain that and understand. Is it finalized yet, at least for the time being?
Yes, Jeff. So thanks. Yeah, yes, as listeners know, I'll do the brief version of it. But anytime we talk about our budget reductions, I just think it's very important to start with the why. So in January, the school district heard a demographic report from one of the preeminent school demographers in the state, Hazel Reinhart. Her projections are that the school district will decline in enrollment by about 400 students over the next 10 years. And she really highlights two specific areas. One, a decline in births, which we're seeing across the board and specifically here in Rice County and the Northfield schools. And then, of course, we've talked many times about the housing crisis that we have here in Northfield, just not enough homes available for purchase for people who do want to move to the school district, which we know there's lots of people who do, just very difficult to find a home. In addition to that, we've talked scores of times about the chronic state underfunding that the school districts across Minnesota have faced over the last 30 years. While people are paying attention to inflation right now because of what we're seeing at the gas pump and other things that we're reading about 8% inflation, schools have been well aware of inflation over the last 30 years because we very rarely have even gotten an increase to the per pupil basic formula that has matched inflation. So to have the same buying power today that the basic formula had in 1990, the legislature would have to increase it by over $1,600, Jeff. That's how much buying power the formula has been eroded over the years because it hasn't kept up with inflation. So you put those two things together. You put declining enrollment, 70% of our revenue is directly tied to student counts. You put in that chronic state underfunding, and there's no school district that is going to be able to do what we've done, which is not having had to have a budget reduction process, a serious budget reduction process in 11 years. But we did do that this winter. We started in February. We put out an all call for anyone who wanted to help us prioritize the budget. What were the things that were the most important for the school district to achieve the goals and commitments and benchmarks in its strategic plan? We had over 70 people come together over four different meetings, some very difficult discussions. Administrators put together a budget plan based on that, and we made recommendations for around $4.5 million of reductions. We've talked about what those reductions are, those proposals were several times before. Rich has them linked on the website. So the board did take its final action last night on the proposed budget reductions. They did adopt all of the budget reductions, except for there were a few items that they did use their governance authority to remove, and I'll highlight those right now. So the first is in the elementary package. They removed and directed the school district to continue the elementary portage program. That's our all-the-time online program for at least one more year. So our middle school and high school program is already slated to be going for at least one more year. The board decided to have the elementary portage continue for 1 year as well. We do plan to do some direct marketing to school communities where they have not put together an official all-the-time online program that's been approved by the state. So encouraging people from those school districts to consider open enrolling to us if they're looking for an all-the-time online program. The school board in the secondary package also chose to preserve the Ag-Ed partnership with Randolph. We received a lot of feedback on this particular partnership. We've had a small number of students over the past few years who have participated. In fact, this year it's only 10 students, which is why it was slated for potential reduction. But really looking at the potential future of Ag and how important Ag is to Minnesota's economy, the board felt that reducing that partnership was not the right move at this time and that we should actually be looking at how we could expand that. We also did learn in the last week there's some additional funding from the state that we did not understand we were eligible for because we do outsource the program and have a partnership with Randolph. So there is some additional dollars the school district will be able to get. So those are the two programs that they officially preserved. They did ask us to take a look at the high school security monitor position that is slated for reduction in the 23-24 school year. And they asked us to consider a plan that would allow us to either raise some parking fees or some additional kinds of revenue that would potentially allow us to keep that moving forward. So those are the three items. And then another big part, Jeff, is that the school board did make an official determination last night to change its fund balance goal. And the fund balance goal, so that's the amount of money that we have in the bank, the cash on hand, if you will. Our goal has been to have 16% of our expenditures in the bank. That's the gold standard for districts our size. What we know is that the school districts between enrollments of 3,000 to 5,999 in that area, their average is around 11%. The next highest fund balance goal in the Big Nine Conference is 12%. So the board did officially move its fund balance target from 16% to 14%. And what that means is that we wouldn't need to initiate another budget reduction process unless we were projecting to go below 14% in our fund balance. So that provides additional flexibility for the future as we move ahead. And so still a very responsible fund balance goal, clearly still at the top of the Big Nine Conference, still several percentage points ahead of school districts of comparable size, Jeff. So I think a very responsible process that we did. All of these reductions are painful because every program that we have is meaningful to people in the system. So we didn't take this process lightly. I apologize to the community. I regret that we couldn't outrun declining enrollment and chronic underfunding. But this is how responsible school districts act. We're acting with a sense of urgency now because we know it's coming. We want to avoid an emergency in the future. And so while these cuts are very painful, they impact our friends, our neighbors, most importantly, our students. But they are the responsible thing for the school district at this point, and they're proactive in nature.
I wanted to ask you about when these cuts are going to take effect. The demographics go 10 years out, right, and they show the reduction. This $4.5 million, is this for this next school year? Is it over the course of two or three school years? How will that be implemented?
So the reductions that we proposed are phased in over two school years. So there is a number of reductions that will go into effect right away for this coming school year. And then there's another set that are scheduled to go into effect in the 23-24 school year. Now, of course, the board could choose to later on by affirming a vote, they could certainly restore any programs that we've got slated for the 23-24 school year. We felt it was important to lay out the 2 years of reductions to show that proactive nature, to make sure that everybody's clear. This budget reduction process that we went through was comprehensive. 70 people, over 8 hours of meetings of people coming together just with the community, and then literally dozens and dozens of hours for our administrators to try to operationalize this and make sure that we had the appropriate reductions based on what the community prioritized for us in those four budget meetings. So we don't want to have to do this again next year. We will do some continued pruning, I would say, as we move ahead, some smaller targeted reductions based on attrition, some other things like that over the next few years so that we can adjust and right-size our school district staffing to meet the reality of fewer students. But these reductions that were adopted last night are slated to be implemented over 2 years.
Superintendent Hillman is with us from the Northfield School District. Let's talk about Arcadia School. They were on the agenda last night. Of course, one of two local charter schools that are under the jurisdiction, I guess, sanctioned by the Northfield High School. Tell us about Arcadia.
Yeah, so again, Northfield Public Schools is one of only two traditional public schools in the state that go through the rigorous process with the State Department of Education to be a charter school authorizer. Most authorized are what they call single-purpose authorizers, and they're an organization that authorizes quite a few different schools. We authorize Arcadia Charter School and Prairie Creek Community School. And Arcadia Charter School is at the end of their five-year contract, so they have been going through an application and renewal process, and we presented last night to the board the proposed renewed five-year contract for Arcadia. We're very proud of our partnership with Arcadia. They do an excellent job. They are focused on project-based learning, and so it's just a slightly different approach. It's a smaller school environment with a cap of about 130 students. An excellent school, and again, it's just another example of Northfield School District's commitment to public school choice within our community. The state of Minnesota has one of the most sophisticated systems of public school choice in the country, and Northfield has always been on the leading edge of that by being a charter school authorizer.
Once again, Superintendent Hillman with us. We've got a couple other things to talk about. Let's talk about the security. We've talked about updating the cameras and such, and that was on the agenda last night. What was the discussion and what was the action taken?
Yes, so most of our security surveillance system was put into place 10 years ago. So obviously the technology has changed significantly. And the desire to have more coverage throughout various buildings, of course, it's just part of our society now. So we did do a sealed bid process for security cameras. We did have five bidders, and we were very fortunate. We had anticipated, it's not been lately that many people have been having good bid days, right? And we did have a very good bid day. We had anticipated closer to $500,000 for this project, and the low bid came at $330,000. From Custom Alarm out of Rochester. We are planning to, again, this is a project that we have planned for quite some time. We had set the dollars aside to be able to do this upgrade. And I think the key thing to understand is that it's going to, that $330,000 covers the infrastructure. There'll have to be some new cabling. We currently have 161 cameras in the district. This would expand that to a total of 190. And we're reusing nearly 40 cameras that we already have on campus as part of that. So obviously with the new Greenvale Park building, all of those cameras are new. Those are going to continue to be used. The software that that they connect with will change because we'll be using a similar piece of software across the entire system. There were also some additional cameras at Bridgewater and Spring Creek that we added during the recent referendum projects, that those cameras will be reused. Again, there was the piece about updating the old existing analog cameras, updating some of the infrastructure, and then, of course, the software that we use to be able to view that video system is something that really needed to be updated because that software was about 10 years old. And I know sometimes, you know, people are watching television and they see a room with a bunch of screens and somebody's in there watching those. That is not how the school district uses security cameras. We use them in a reactive fashion. We have no one who is sitting around all day watching what those security cameras do. If we have a concern or there's something that comes forward that we have to review video, we're doing it in a reactive way. That's the way that almost all school districts do it.
All right. Superintendent Hillman with us once again. Let's talk about COVID-19. There has
do
been,
we have to?
I know. Yeah. But there has been an uptick once again in cases, though this current round doesn't seem to come with a lot of the hospitalizations and some of the more severe symptoms that we have seen in the past. It's still part of the pandemic.
You know, I think as I reflect on 2 years of the virus, you know, once we think we know something, it's very apparent very quickly we know nothing. Because, of course, the nature of a virus is that it continues to adapt and change. And, Jeff, I've read the same things that you have about the current iteration of the virus. What I can tell you is from looking at the symptoms that are entered into our spreadsheets and talking with our principals and other school health folks, this particular version of the virus, which we do have a resurgence of COVID-19 cases, you know, we were down to less than 20 for a period of time over a previous 14-day period. As of this morning, we've got 151 new cases in the last 14 days. That's the metric that we've been using for some time, so significant more number of cases. But what we're seeing in the symptoms and what people are reporting is that we are finally seeing this thing present more like, not in every case, but more like a traditional mild to moderate respiratory illness. And so it is, again, a different virus than what we were experiencing when we had 600-some cases in just in the month of January alone. So we are seeing more people test positive. Fortunately, those symptoms do seem to be milder. We are using our influenza-like illness rates as our main metric of do we need to think about any other safety kinds of precautions. At this point, we do not see that in our future. Our influenza-like illness rates have been well below our 5% threshold. There are two buildings, the ALC and the NCEC. Those buildings have a greater possibility of going above 5%. In fact, the NCEC did last week. But those are much different facilities than the rest of our schools. They have typically fewer people on campus every day compared to other buildings. So with a smaller N, that percentage can swing wildly. So you can be above 5% 1 week and the next week be below 2%. And so the 5% that we have is simply an indicator. It's a catalyst for us to take a look at things and say where we're at. NCEC, we feel we're doing well there right now. All of our other buildings, while we are seeing certainly an increase in the number of cases, we are seeing below 5% for our average weekly influenza-like illness rates. That means the students who are home with influenza-like symptoms. So we feel that we're doing okay. We still do think people should do the normal things, right? If you're not feeling well, stay home. You know, if you've been exposed, you know, we're not requiring anyone to wear a mask, but it's a responsible thing to think about wearing a mask in a more crowded setting if you know that you've been exposed, or maybe you have to go out and you've got a sniffle or something all along those lines. And then do the good old-fashioned things like washing your hands regularly, those kinds of things. So we are monitoring it. We are not overly concerned about the virus itself. We are seeing some absences, and we're seeing some additional staff absences. So we are having to work through a substitute situation that is a little more difficult than it's been in the last few months. But it is what it is, and it's where we're at. And we do feel good about the management of the virus that we have right now.
And Matt, let's talk about one final thing is that we're in the last, what, about 3 weeks or so of the school year. And that means all kinds of things are coming up. You've got Senior Recognition Day, prom coming up this weekend, and spring finally here as the sun beats down right in your eyes,
Jeff, yes.
But it's a fun time of the year for the students, and hopefully they can all participate, and this virus won't prevent some good memories from happening the last few weeks of the season.
Yeah, I think we're all yearning to get back to regular is the term I use, right? And we get close, we think we're there, and then we see things like this. And so I think that, again, the end of this year is a celebratory time. We are in a much different place than we were a year ago or 2 years ago. And so I do think that there's a lot to celebrate. Of course, we have to be cautious, we have to be reasonable, we have to be thoughtful. But I'm so pleased that our students are able to have, getting as back close to regular right now as we can. Everyone has been through a lot. And in the next few months, we'll talk, Jeff, you and I, a little about how, as we hopefully finally begin to emerge from this, or at least learn to live with the circumstances that we've been dealt with, there's some healing that needs to happen, right, for all of us. I mean, everyone, this has affected everyone in a variety of different ways. And not everyone has had a chance to really grieve some of the things that they have lost, over the last few years, because we just have had to keep moving forward. And so I hope that we can talk about how our community can do some healing, coming out of this. I'm very proud of how Northfield has handled this whole circumstance on balance. I think we've done a very good job of caring for our friends and neighbors, being understanding, being gracious. But I do think that there needs to be some intentional thought about how do we reflect and how do we heal moving forward. And so that's what my hope is as we come out. I'm so happy that the healing for our students will be some of these great spring things. That's awesome. That's a wonderful thing. And then as a community, I think we just need to really reflect and think about how we can heal and move forward together.
Matt, thank you so much for coming in today.
It's
We're out
pleasure.
Of time. We appreciate it, but we'll talk to you again in a couple of weeks.
Sounds great.
Superintendent of Schools, Dr. Matt Hillman. Coming up in just a moment or so, we've got Tim McNiff, News with a Side of Sports, MNN, after this.
So, Todd, what's it like working a graphic mailbox?
Well, it's fun.